Dark Web Weaver. Amid the towering structures of glass and steel that make up Silicon Valley, where innovation thrived and technology reigned supreme, a dark underbelly lurked in the digital world. Unbeknownst to the bustling masses, Stephen, a reclusive and pale software engineer with haunted eyes, spent his days hunched over a computer screen, his fingers tapping away in a constant dance of code. However, within the frigid and impersonal environment of algorithms and information, Stephen found solace in his obsession with Joanne, an aspiring writer with a vibrant online presence. Her blog was his lifeline, her words filling the void in his isolated life. As he immersed himself in her virtual world, he became obsessed with every thought, feeling, and aspect of her life. With careful attention to detail, Stephen meticulously scoured Joanne's social media profiles, compiling information on her daily habits and preferred locations. He watched her from afar as she went about her life, all while she remained blissfully unaware of the danger lurking in the shadows of the internet. To Stephen, Joanne was more than just an online persona. She was an escape from his dark demons, and he would stop at nothing to make her his own. Joanne sat at her desk, typing furiously as the glow of her laptop screen illuminated her face. Stephen, hidden in the shadows across the street, watched her every keystroke with a twisted sense of satisfaction. As Joanne poured her heart into her blog, Stephen's obsession grew. Like a spider spinning its web, he sent anonymous messages that grew increasingly cryptic and unsettling with each passing day. Joanne tried to brush them off as harmless pranks, but she couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. Unbeknownst to her, a sinister predator lurked just out of sight, waiting for the perfect moment to strike. As the messages became more frequent, Joanne started to feel like she was being watched. She noticed strange figures lingering on street corners, watching her every move. And then came the chilling message scrawled on her mirror, "I know your every move." Suddenly, Joanne's world was no longer filled with vibrant colors and dreams, but instead, with a growing sense of paranoia and fear. She had gone from being a simple blogger to a pawn in a dangerous game orchestrated by an unknown stalker. As Joanne walked home, she felt uneasy. She had received threatening messages from an unknown stalker and now feared for her safety. Suddenly, she saw him lurking in the shadows with piercing eyes fixed on her. He was no longer just a digital threat. He was here, ready to turn his twisted obsession into a horrifying reality. Joanne tried to run, but the stalker's powerful grip stopped her in her tracks. He dragged her into a dark, empty building where a disturbing ritual took place. The maniacal glint in his eyes sent shivers down her spine as she realized the true depth of his depravity. The city was shaken by Joanne's disappearance and the whispers of a mysterious figure who roamed its streets. Meanwhile, Stephen observed from a distance, relishing in his twisted deeds while also being consumed by anxiety about getting caught. Even though he was aware of the wrongfulness of his actions, he couldn't resist the sinful satisfaction of possessing another soul like a forbidden fruit. The police investigation intensified, and Stephen's carefully constructed world began to crumble. The detectives traced his digital footprints, leading them closer to his doorstep. Inside his darkened apartment, he frantically attempted to maintain his facade, crafting a web of lies and switching between different personas. But his obsession with Joanne consumed him, so he created a shrine to her memory in a dark closet inside his home. Stephen basked in the mayhem he had created as the city descended into panic and terror. Eventually, the police closed in on Stephen's apartment. In a desperate escape attempt, he made a run for it, but was quickly apprehended. The city could finally rest, knowing that Stephen's reign of terror was over. Gradually, the streets came back to life as people found their sense of security and perseverance. But in the hearts of those who knew her, Joanne's memory endured her message of empathy and human connection, a beacon of hope during the aftermath of the tragedy that had shattered their community. Despite the city's progress, a lingering unease remained. The mere mention of Stephen Woodward instilled fear and awe in people, a constant reminder of the darkness that had once plagued them. Even though he was imprisoned, there was an underlying fear that his power may still linger in the digital realm, a constant threat that could strike from the shadows at any moment. After countless hours spent poring over gruesome crime scene photos and interviewing witnesses, the detectives were rewarded with a guilty conviction in the case of Stephen Woodward. As Stephen was led away in handcuffs, Joanne's loved ones watched tearfully from the gallery. The lively city blogger, who had been a source of inspiration for many, now rested in a peaceful cemetery, her voice forever silenced by the actions of a cruel individual. As the news of Joanne's death spread throughout the world, her powerful words echoed in the minds and hearts of all who had read them. Her blog, once a platform for her thoughts and passions, now serves as a digital memorial for a life cut tragically short. Each click and share are offerings to her memory, keeping her spirit alive in the virtual world long after her physical presence was gone.
Michael had always been shy, and he had never been very good with women. So when he decided to try online dating, he didn't have high expectations. He matched with a woman named Emily. She was beautiful, intelligent, and funny, and Michael was immediately smitten. They talked for hours on end, and he felt like he had finally found his soulmate. One day, Emily asked Michael to go out on a date. He was thrilled, and he said yes. He met her at a nice restaurant, and they had a great time. Emily was everything he had hoped for, and more. As the night went on, Emily started to act a little strange. She became more and more distant, and she started to ignore Michael. He was confused and hurt, but he tried to brush it off. When it was time to go home, Emily asked Michael to drive her home. He agreed, and they got in his car. As they were driving, Emily suddenly pulled out a knife and held it to Michael's throat. Michael was terrified, and he begged Emily to put the knife away. But Emily just laughed and told him that she was going to kill him. Michael didn't believe her at first, but then he saw the look in her eyes. He knew that she was serious, and he started to panic. Emily lunged at Michael, and he tried to defend himself, but he was no match for her, and she stabbed him several times. He died a few minutes later, and Emily drove away, leaving him to die in his car. Emily was never caught. She vanished without a trace, and Michael's murder remains unsolved. As the months passed, Michael's family and friends began to suspect that something was wrong. He was always so reliable, and he would always answer his phone. But now, he had disappeared without a word. They contacted the police, and a missing person investigation was launched. The police searched Michael's apartment and car, but they found no clues. They also interviewed his friends and family, but no one had any information. The case quickly went cold, and it seemed like Michael would never be found. But then, one day, a tip came in from an anonymous source. The tip led the police to an abandoned warehouse, and there they found Michael's body. The police were baffled. There was no sign of forced entry, and it looked like Michael had been killed inside the warehouse. They also found a knife at the scene, and they believe it was the murder weapon. The police put out a warrant for Emily's arrest, but she was nowhere to be found. They believe that she is still on the run, and they are urging anyone with information to come forward. The case of Michael's murder is still a mystery, and it is unlikely that Emily will ever be caught. But his family and friends are still hopeful that justice will be served one day. Sarah had always been cautious when it came to online dating, but she was tired of being alone. She had been through a few bad relationships, and she was ready for something new. When she matched with a guy named Alex, she was immediately drawn to his profile. He seemed intelligent, funny, and had a lot of the same interests as her. They started chatting online, and they quickly developed a connection. After a few weeks of chatting, they decided to meet up in person. Sarah was nervous, but she was also excited. She met Alex at a park, and they walked and talked for hours. Sarah was even more drawn to him in person, and she knew that she was in love. They started dating regularly, and things seemed perfect. Alex was everything Sarah had ever wanted in a man. He was kind, attentive, and made her feel special. But as the weeks went by, Sarah started to notice some strange things about Alex. He would become possessive and jealous, and he would often check her phone and emails. Sarah tried to talk to him about her concerns, but he would always brush them off. One night, Sarah came home from work to find Alex waiting for her. He was angry, and he accused her of cheating on him. Sarah denied the accusations, but Alex didn't believe her. He grabbed her by the arms and shook her violently. Sarah was terrified, and she didn't know what to do. She tried to scream, but Alex covered her mouth. He dragged her into the bedroom and threw her on the bed. Alex started to unbutton Sarah's shirt and she fought back. She kicked and scratched at him, but he was too strong. He pinned her down to the bed and forced himself on her. Sarah cried out in pain and Alex just laughed. He told her that she was his now and that she would never escape him. Sarah was helpless and she felt like she was going to die. She closed her eyes and waited for the worst. But just when Sarah thought that all hope was lost, she heard a noise. She opened her eyes and saw Alex's roommate standing in the doorway. The roommate was shocked, and he ran out of the room. Alex jumped off of Sarah and ran after his roommate. Sarah took the opportunity to escape. She ran out of the bedroom and into the living room. She grabbed her coat and sprinted out of the apartment. Sarah didn't know where to go, so she just ran. She ran until she was out of breath, and then she collapsed on a park bench. She sat there for a few minutes, attempting to process what had just happened. She couldn't believe that she had been raped. But Sarah was a survivor. She had been through a lot in her life, and she wasn't going to let this break her. She stood up and picked up her coat. Sarah walked to the nearest police station and reported the rape. The police took her statement and collected evidence. They also took her to the hospital to be examined. The next day, Sarah met with a detective. The detective told her that they had arrested Alex and that he would be charged with her assault. Sarah was relieved to hear that Alex would be behind bars. She knew that it would take time to heal, but she was determined to move on with her life. Sarah never forgot what happened to her, but she didn't let it define her. She became a strong advocate for other victims of rape, and she helped to raise awareness about the issue. Sarah's story is a reminder that even the most seemingly perfect relationships can turn out to be dangerous. It's important to always be cautious when meeting someone new, and to never be afraid to walk away if something feels wrong. Jessica had always been adventurous and she loved to try new things. So when she decided to try online dating, she was open to all possibilities. She went on a few dates and she even had a few long-term relationships, but she was never really satisfied. She always felt like there was something missing. One day, Jessica matched with a man named David. He was mysterious and intriguing, and Jessica was immediately drawn to him. They talked for hours on end, and Jessica felt like she had finally found someone who understood her. After a few weeks of talking, they decided to meet up in person. Jessica was nervous, but she was also excited. She met David at a coffee shop, and they talked for a few hours. Jessica was even more drawn to him in person, and she knew that she was in love. A few days later, David asked Jessica to go out on another date. She was thrilled, and she said yes. They went to a nice restaurant, and they had a great time. David was everything Jessica had hoped for, and more. As the night went on, David suggested they go for a walk. Jessica agreed, and they walked along the river. The night was beautiful, and Jessica felt like she was on top of the world. Suddenly, David grabbed Jessica's arm and pulled her into a dark alley. Jessica was terrified, and she tried to scream, but David covered her mouth. David dragged Jessica into an abandoned warehouse and tied her to a chair. Jessica was shaking with fear, and she didn't know what to do. David stood in front of her and smiled. "You know why I brought you here, Jessica?" he asked. Jessica shook her head. "Because I'm going to kill you," David said. Jessica's eyes widened in horror. She couldn't believe what she was hearing. David pulled out a knife and held it to Jessica's throat. She closed her eyes and waited for the end. But then she heard a noise. She opened her eyes and saw a man standing in the doorway. The man was tall and muscular, and he had a gun in his hand. "Drop the knife, David," the man said. David hesitated for a moment, but then he dropped the knife. The man walked over to David and handcuffed him. Then he turned to Jessica and smiled. "Are you okay?" he asked. Jessica nodded. "I'm Detective Miller," the man said. "I've been tracking David for weeks. I knew he was going to hurt you." Jessica was speechless. She couldn't believe that she had been saved. Detective Miller took David away, and Jessica was left alone in the warehouse. She sat there for a few minutes trying to process what had just happened. Finally, Jessica stood up and walked out of the warehouse. She looked up at the sky and took a deep breath. She was alive, and she was grateful.
Hostile. Beneath the glittering facade of European travel, Paxton, Josh, and Ollie, three American backpackers, embark on a hedonistic odyssey, chasing adrenaline and cheap thrills. Drawn by whispered rumors of a Slovakian hostel brimming with beautiful women, they stumble upon a truth far more horrifying than a one-night stand gone wrong. Director Eli Roth artfully crafts a film that blends the raw terror of a slasher with the unsettling realism of a modern travel nightmare. The claustrophobic confines of the hostel become a breeding ground for paranoia and dread. Roth expertly manipulates the audience's expectations, drawing them into the protagonist's carefree adventure, only to shatter their sense of security with brutal efficiency. The performances are raw and nuanced, particularly Jay Hernandez as Paxton, whose initial bravado crumbles under the relentless onslaught of horror. The gradual descent into despair, the desperate struggles for survival, and the moments of chilling resignation are captured with unflinching honesty. As the true nature of the hostel unfolds, the film transcends mere violence, exploring the depths of human depravity and the chilling anonymity of the dark tourism industry. Wealthy individuals, seeking to enact their darkest fantasies, become the unseen architects of the horror, fueling a macabre market where human life is a commodity. Hostel is a gut-wrenching exploration of human vulnerability, the corrosive power of unchecked desire, and the insidious darkness that can lurk beneath the surface of seemingly ordinary lives. Roth navigates the genre's boundaries, pushing the limits of on-screen violence while remaining emotionally resonant and intellectually stimulating. The film's pacing builds tension through subtle cues and everyday anxieties before exploding into moments of shocking brutality. The horror is not solely visceral, but also psychological, tapping into our primal fears of isolation, betrayal, and the terrifying realization that we can become mere objects in someone else's twisted game. Hostel is not for the faint of heart. The film's graphic violence, disturbing subject matter, and unflinching portrayal of human cruelty can be deeply unsettling for some viewers. But for those of us who appreciate a well-crafted horror film that challenges expectations and sparks critical reflection, Hostel is a gem in the genre. The film's strength lies in its ability to confront our darkest fears and challenge our perceptions of morality. It reminds us that the monsters we most fear are not always lurking in the shadows, but can sometimes dwell within the hearts of those who seek to exploit the vulnerable for their twisted pleasure. Hostel was written and directed by Eli Roth and produced by Quentin Tarantino. It received critical acclaim for its brutal realism and exploration of dark themes, but also sparked controversy for its graphic violence. With its unflinching exploration of the darkest corners of the human psyche, Hostel stands as an example of the power of cinema to confront our fears and ignite critical reflection on the shadows that dance at the edge of our civilized world. Hostel is a horror movie that is 1 hour and 34 minutes long and is rated R. The Southern Underworld gives it 3.5 bloody knives. And now for the second in the series, Hostel 2. Beneath the sun-drenched facade of Rome, Beth, Whitney, and Lorna, three American art students, seek artistic inspiration in the Eternal City. Drawn by alluring whispers of a secluded Slovakian spa offering rejuvenation and relaxation, they stumble upon a horrifying truth far more twisted than any Renaissance masterpiece. Director Eli Roth returns to the bleak world established in Hostel, but this time, he expands the scope of his exploration of the dark tourism industry, weaving a disturbing tapestry of human trafficking, sadistic entertainment, and the insidious normalization of violence. The familiar backdrop of the Slovakian hostel takes on a new dimension, its claustrophobic corridors and dimly lit chambers now buzzing with a grotesque sense of carnivalesque horror. The performances are raw and gritty, reflecting the characters' descent into despair and their desperate struggle for survival. Lauren German as Beth delivers an outstanding portrayal of resilience and defiance, while Bijou Phillips and Heather Matarazzo capture the chilling transformation of carefree tourists into traumatized prey. Hostel 2 deviates from the straightforward slasher narrative of its predecessor, choosing instead to delve into the psychological underpinnings of its characters and the motivations of their tormentors. It explores the commodification of violence, where the extinguishing of human lives becomes mere entertainment for wealthy thrill-seekers. Hostel 2 is more than just a horror sequel. It's a brutal and unflinching indictment of the darkest corners of human nature. Roth pushes the boundaries of cinematic depiction of violence, but does so with a purpose that goes beyond mere shock value. He forces the audience to confront the unsettling reality of a world where human suffering is a spectator sport for the privileged few. The film's horror is not solely visceral, but also deeply psychological, playing on our primal fears of isolation, betrayal, and the chilling realization that we can become mere objects in someone else's depraved game. Hostel 2's graphic violence, disturbing subject matter, and exploration of human cruelty can be deeply unsettling for some viewers. However, for those who appreciate a good slasher film, Hostel 2 is a powerful experience and a great addition to the series. The film's strength lies in its ability to challenge our perceptions of the lengths to which humans are capable of descending in the pursuit of gratification. It reminds us that the monsters we most fear are not always lurking in the shadows, but can sometimes dwell within the hearts of those who seek to exploit the vulnerable for their twisted enjoyment. With its brutal realism and chilling examination of the depths of human depravity, Hostel 2 confronts our darkest fears and delves into shadows that dance at the edge of our civilized world. Hostel 2 is a horror movie that is 1 hour and 34 minutes long and is rated R. The Southern Underworld gives is 3.5 bloody knives. And now the last in the series, Hostel 3. In Hostel Part 3, the sinister underground organization continues its depraved operation, offering wealthy clients the ultimate thrill of sadistic torture. Set in Las Vegas, the film follows a group of bachelor party attendees who find themselves ensnared in the deadly game. As the festivities kick off, the group indulges in the hedonistic pleasures of Sin City, unaware of the danger lurking beneath the surface. When they encounter a charismatic stranger who promises them access to an exclusive, off-the-grid experience, they eagerly accept, craving an adrenaline rush beyond their wildest dreams. However, their excitement quickly turns to horror as they realize they've been lured into a trap orchestrated by the sadistic elite hunting club. Stripped of their autonomy, they become pawns in a deadly game of cat and mouse, where survival is measured by the capacity to endure unimaginable pain. As the nightmarish ordeal unfolds, alliances are forged and betrayals abound, as the group struggles to outwit their captors and escape the clutches of the bloodthirsty hunters. With each passing moment, the line between predator and prey blurs, leaving the characters questioning their humanity in the face of unspeakable cruelty. In a heart-pounding race against time, the survivors must navigate a labyrinth of torture chambers and twisted games, where death lurks around every corner. With the odds stacked against them, they must summon every ounce of courage and cunning to evade their fate and emerge from the hellish nightmare alive. Hostel, Part 3, serves as a chilling reminder of the depths of human depravity and the fragility of life in a world where morality holds no sway and the pursuit of pleasure knows no bounds. Hostel, Part 3, plunges audiences into a nightmarish descent into the bowels of human depravity, delivering a relentless onslaught of terror that will leave even the most hardened horror aficionados trembling in their seats. Director Scott Spiegel expertly ratchets up the tension from the opening moments, setting a foreboding tone that permeates every frame of the film. From the glitzy neon lights of Las Vegas to the dimly lit corridors of the elite hunting club's lair, the atmosphere drips with an unsettling sense of dread, leaving viewers on the edge of their seats. Where Hostel Part 3 truly excels is in its unflinching portrayal of violence and torture. Spiegel pulls no punches, delivering a series of gruesome set pieces that will disturb even the most hardened horror fans. From bone-chilling screams to visceral gore, the film pulls viewers into the heart of darkness, confronting them with the brutal reality of human cruelty. But beyond the blood and gore lies a deeper message about the nature of evil and the corruption of power. The elite hunting club serves as a metaphor for the darkest corners of human nature, where morality is sacrificed on the altar of pleasure and pain. In this world, the line between predator and prey blurs, leaving the characters grappling with their capacity for violence and depravity. In the end, Hostel Part 3 is a harrowing journey and relentless roller coaster of terror that will leave audiences gasping for breath. With its chilling atmosphere, visceral violence, and thought-provoking themes, the film cements its place as a modern horror classic, destined to haunt viewers long after the credits roll. Enter if you dare, but beware. Once you step into the world of Hostel Part 3, there's no turning back. I liked this installment of the series the most of the three, but the violence and gore got to be a bit much for me. Hostel 3 is a horror movie that is 1 hour and 28 minutes and is rated R. The Southern Underworld gives it 4 bloody knives. These films tap into our primal fears of the unknown and the dangers lurking in seemingly ordinary situations. One of the things that make the Hostel series so intriguing is how they explore the dark side of human nature and the depths to which people can sink when driven by their most basic desires. At the surface, the Hostel movies are often dismissed as mere torture flicks, but there's more to them than meets the eye. They offer commentary on various themes such as hedonism, capitalism, and globalization. The idea of a secret organization catering to the wealthy elite's twisted desires by providing them with victims for torture and murder is chillingly plausible in a world where power and privilege often seem to reign supreme. Moreover, these films also raise questions about the nature of tourism and the voyeuristic tendencies of society. By portraying backpackers as unsuspecting victims who fall prey to the horrors of the Hostel, the movies force us to confront our fascination with violence and our tendency to objectify others, especially those from different cultures or backgrounds. But perhaps what's most disturbing about the Hostel series is its exploration of the banality of evil. The villains in these films are not cartoonish monsters, but rather ordinary-looking people who could easily blend into society. This serves as a reminder that evil often wears a mundane face, lurking just beneath the surface of everyday life. Cabin Fever was my first exposure to Eli Roth, and I am a huge fan of the horror genre, obviously, and his work in particular. This being said, the amount and intensity of the violence in these movies did bother me, but if you look at this series, gore and shock value aside, they provide a chilling glimpse into the darkest corners of the human psyche and leave us questioning our morality and capacity for empathy. If you can handle the gore and are a fan of slasher horror films, these films are worth a look. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up below, subscribe to the channel, and share this video to help our little channel grow. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time.